Let us move forward. Take out your document. There should be some in the back. Actually, two documents. Our main document, what influence does the actualization of salvation in eternity exert on the eternal doctrines of grace? Yeah. What influence does the actualization of salvation in eternity exert on the eternal doctrines of grace? Also, the other document, the sovereignty of God in election doctrines. Now, in the first document, what influence does the actualization of salvation in eternity exert on eternal doctrines of grace? Let's go to page 18 as we consider the last underheading, the scripture utility of the doctrine of the preservation, not perseverance. Preservation. Everybody said preservation.
Preservation.
Not perseverance.
All right.
So we are going to look at the preservation of the saints.
Of the saints.
Not the perseverance of the saints. And this is why we said, no, don't call us Calvinists. Don't put a label on us. Amen. We go into the Word of God, and whatever is there, we glean. Amen. And we run with it. Amen. So it's not about, amen, the child of God persevering and striving, amen, to make it in, and amen, and his record and his track record is there, and God's going to go, and he's grading it, amen, and some going to make it because they, amen, somehow they endure to the end. We shall look to some of these passages this morning that are utilized erroneously in teaching such. You can Gavin is our designated reader. Let's turn. First of all, we're gonna go to Matthew chapter 24, and we're gonna deal with we're gonna deal with that which really should corroborate the essence of preservation rather than perseverance.
Right.
Amen. And even in these writings, as Jesus speaks concerning the things that are to be manifested, that he emphatically states that such has already occurred. We shall see that as we look into Matthew 24 and verse 13. In addition to that, I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews, amen, that was written by our beloved Apostle Paul. Yes, Paul did write Hebrews. Amen. We have a document that will be coming out in the fall. Why did Paul write Hebrews and why? Amen. But here, this is specifically written to the Jewish believers who had the background in a prior dispensation through their forefathers of being under both the Mosaic and New Covenants. Hebrews chapter 3, we shall look at that also. In the document, the sovereignty of God in election doctrines, I want you to go to almost the last page, and did not neglected to number these pages, but almost to the last page, and we have preservation, not perseverance of the saints. All right, everybody, beginning page 18 at the bottom, scripture utility of the doctrine of the preservation, not perseverance of the saints. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Now here is very important to distinguish the words preservation and perseverance. The term preservation is indicative of the actualization of what has been forever accomplished in eternity,
right,
in which subsequent creation and time has no relevant effect. other words, amen, that which is done is done, and that which is done subsequent to that which is done has no effect on it.
All right.
Contrariwise, the term perseverance depicts the continuous progression of ongoing struggles, even though we know from our gospel that the outcome has already been determined by God's enablement of those involved in such. So when we're talking about perseverance in the sphere of time, we're talking about manifestations that are there for testimony's sake, and they're not there, amen, to give an illusion that what is being manifested is the actualization of what is occurring. No. It's that it doesn't work out that way. Amen. So we're not struggling. And so that's certain songs that we just don't say. Amen. We're not scaling the rough side of a mountain trying to make... Amen. And the reason we're down here praying, amen, is that we love to communicate with God, not because we don't want to be lost.
Right.
And so it's so important. It is ultra important because of the many things that can transpire in your life from day to day. We never know what's going to come and become our life. It is so important to have something that you know that is there, is there, and cannot, amen, be all the change, amen, it cannot fall into an attenuated state, amen, it cannot be moved, cannot be nullified, cannot be, y'all don't hear me, cannot be reversed, amen, that is your eternal status and relationship with the God of your salvation. Amen. Young people, as they go through life, I say to you, some of you, as you finish school, amen, you're going off into life or going off, amen, to college or wherever, and you're dealing with things in life, and many things are going to come, amen.
Oh, yeah.
And you need something, amen, that you can stand upon and say, I know that's there.
All right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And even when you look around and things may seem to be transpiring to the point of coming apart, everything coming apart by the threads. But no. We don't walk by sight. Amen. We walk by faith. And our faith is based upon the essence of the knowledge, of the revelation, of the mystery, that volume of truth that was delivered to the Apostle Paul for the church.
Yes.
Amen. And as we, amen, look into our gospel, our contract, if you please, we're able to glean, amen, these glorious truths that give us the confidence to walk in the midst of problems, in the midst of, of trials, in the midst of situations, no matter what may come upon us, whether it be sickness, amen, whether it be financial, amen, challenges, whatever may come along in life, we can say like Paul, I know in whom I believe, and persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Each time that we come before you, oh my God, to speak of these eternal truths, the essence of what life is all about. Now, there's nothing more important than your salvation.
Nothing.
Your salvation is more important than your job.
Amen. Come on with it.
Your
it is, I'm telling you.
Your salvation is important, more important than the structure of your family.
Right.
As important as these are, and I always have to stop and say it because somebody's going to go the other way and say, I'm saying that they're not important and this is not what we're saying.
No.
Listen. Amen. We're talking about priority.
Priority.
Everybody say priority.
Priority.
Amen. That your eternal relationship with God speaks to a relationship and a status and a condition that is eternal and everlasting. Wherein whatever is going on down here, amen, it is for an assigned duration. Oh my God, hallelujah. Now my God, that whatever, amen, you are involved in now, amen, it is for the purpose of testimony. Oh my God, and God, amen, from the beginning has given us a status, a standing, a place in Him, amen, that will never change. And so no matter whatever else may fall, this shall never fall.
Never.
So now,
thank God.
When the vicissitudes of life falls, amen. Oh my God, when the challenges come, when the confrontation rage, when trouble abuse, when all of these things, amen, become encounters, we are able, oh my God, to stand right dead in the face of amen and say, I know in whom I have believed.
Yes,
oh my God.
Thank
and why do we believe? We believe because of the enlightenment of this glorious truth. Now, let's turn to Matthew. Oh my God. Chapter 24. We are amen. He said, my God, Pastor, you starting out in Matthew? Yeah, we're going to start out with the corroborator this time.
All right.
Because this is Jesus talking.
All right.
And unfortunately, there are many things that have been attributively said. Jesus has been misquoted. I said it again. So what Jesus said that, well, amen, exegeted in you and get the actual utterance, the actual conveyance of what Jesus actually said. Amen. To misquote Jesus and then run with it is very damaging to the confidence, amen, that one should receive from what he actually said.
Right.
All right. Everybody got Matthew chapter 24. Brother Deacon, oh my God, I come out here morning and amen, and actually only have an hour and have about 6 hours of material. I just wish one of these times, amen, you all would just, amen, say, Pastor Jay, we just throw the clock out this morning. Let's not even look at the clock. Amen. Of course, I know, amen, that we are yet abiding in the flesh, and so, amen, we won't come in. Challenge you with that. Amen. But in the essence of what is conveyed here, and of course you must go, women, don't ever grab a verse of scripture and just run with it. That's like pastors always say, you're like walking up in the middle of a conversation and you grab one sentence. And you have no idea what was said before,
right?
Where it's going. So you're right in the middle of it, and you grab something, and you run with it. And that's what most of the preaching is about. You grab a verse here, and then so now let's turn here. And I watch them sometimes as I'm watching, even the church services on TV. And I say, hey, stop, read a little bit more,
so
we can get the context of what is being conveyed. Amen. Now, first of all, here in bringing into the essence of what is said, and for the sake of time, amen, in verse 14, it is very, very clear here that he is talking about the kingdom of the gospel, the gospel kingdom, of the gospel of the kingdom, which must be distinguished from the gospel of the grace of God. If you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, you're going to always be confused.
Always.
Amen.
Always.
But even in the gospel of the kingdom, amen, it is erroneous to say that Jesus said something that he did not say, amen, if any a group of people would testify, amen, that it is the commitment of God by which they are saved, it would be Israel. Mm-hmm. Amen. Huh? Paul could write and he could ask the question,
yes,
in Romans, has God cast away his people Israel? And the question, absolutely not.
No.
Amen. But not on the basis of them.
Right.
Because we have that record,
yeah,
and it's not too appealing. It's not too good, is it?
Nah.
Well, neither is your record. My record.
Amen.
And so it is not based upon our performance.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, we'll just take the time, amen, this morning. Brother Deacon, start reading. Why don't you start reading verse 14? Everybody look at verse 14, say amen. That's Matthew 24 and 14. Amen. Now I said, now you're jumping ahead. Why am I jumping ahead? I'm jumping ahead, amen, so that first of all, you know what gospel it is,
mm-hmm,
amen, and know why Jesus is saying what he's saying, and then we'll go back and survey what he's saying.
All right.
All right, read.
From the King James Version.
Uh-huh.
Matthew 24:14.
Mm-hmm.
And this gospel of the kingdom.
And this gospel of the kingdom.
Shall be preached in all the world.
Uh-huh.
For a witness unto all nations.
Uh-huh.
And then shall the end come.
And then shall the end come. Amen. And then shall the end come. Now, why did I do that? I did that because up in verse 13, the writers and interpreters put a phrase in there that doesn't belong in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that phrase is unto the end. And actually, what they did, they went down in 14 and transposed, amen, a thought up in the 13, amen, to enforce what their thinking is concerning what constitutes our stickability and stayability.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, here in the verses before, he was talking about, and we know the essence of what Jesus' prophecy is in Matthew 24, as he speaks of the end time and the things that should happen in the nations. Amen. In verse 7, shall rise against nations, and amen, kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famines, and all of these things that you see in the book of Revelation, mm-hmm, these things will happen, and
right,
famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places, and we haven't seen anything now. You think the little tsunamis and the things, oh my God,
yeah,
this earth is in my for a complete shakeup, even to the point of being renovated.
Yes.
Amen. Here in verse 8, he said, all these things are just the beginning of sorrows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, amen, for those who say that God's people, God doesn't want you to be sick, God doesn't want you to be this, that, and the other, he's talking to them, and he's talking about his elect of that age,
mm-hmm,
amen, for here, as we fast forward here, we're talking about in the period of the tribulation, and this is why you must understand at that time, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached. It is not now, not in this day. Our gospel, amen, is the volume of truth,
mm-hmm,
that was delivered, amen, to the church,
mm-hmm,
by revelation through the Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not to stand up here this morning and preach this, but we are can go through it and show you, and give understanding and enlightenment of what Jesus actually said.
Yes.
For he said to them, he said, then they're going to deliver you up, talking about his elect.
Right.
To do what? To be afflicted, and they're going to kill you.
Yeah.
So, oh my God, God's people, he protect God's people, and many who teach this kingdom gospel and preach the prosperity, they got to go into hiding,
mm-hmm,
amen, when they fall upon hard times.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right.
Oh my God.
Right.
But here, God has decreed it for testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to them, you shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake. Amen. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Amen. And he's talking about that the elect will even turn on each other during that time. You know, self-preservation.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Oh, even those of the elect, they're going to be seeking survival.
Oh.
Amen. And then the many prophets, false prophets, shall come along. We have that in this day. And shall deceive many.
Right.
And then iniquity shall abound. And the love of those, amen, who should be clinging to the truth, amen. The love of many shall wax cold. And then verse 13, Brother Dickham, read that. Everybody look at verse 13.
From the King James Version.
Uh-huh.
Matthew 24:13.
Uh-huh.
But he that shall endure unto the end,
To the end, the same shall be saved. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the Greek. All right, verse 13. Everybody that has, and again, even, now let me say this. Even some of the critical texts have that phrase in there, using the verb, word, Greek word, telos, the end. But context-wise, you can, as we look at the essence of it, we see that it's not there. Amen. But we do have that, the essence of what is down in the 14th verse, speaking about the end. Mm-hmm. All right, but Brother Deacon, you can read it, amen, we'll straighten it up.
All right,
verse 13.
From the interlineal Greek text.
Uh-huh.
But the enduring to end,
mm-hmm.
this will be saved.
Mm-hmm. But the enduring to end will be saved. The enduring to end will be saved. Now, here, that is even, oh my God, and this is why we have to stand and exegete. You see that Greek word, epomenos, there, where he has enduring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked, because this is a Greek scholar, and he's got it right under there. That verb, epomenos, is an aorist participle. What is the aorist tense? And when you say enduring, what you're doing, you got that as what?
Present.
You got that as the present tense. What Jesus actually said is that he who did endure, the same shall be saved. This, oh my God. He who did endure. You say, well, we don't talk like that, because Jesus, how can we talk about the future and then use the aorist tense? Amen. This is why we're going to take maybe a year and a half to deal with actualization. Amen. That is that which is ontologized, a coming to actual being by God's decree in eternity. Amen. And with its manifestation. Exclusively. The manifestation is exclusively what? The manifestation is exclusively
in time.
Mm-hmm. And so here Jesus is talking about what is being manifested in time, and he refers to what has been actualized in eternity. And so those that did endure, uh-huh. is based upon the fact that he ontologized it in eternity, actualized it, of those that he caused to endure.
Right.
Many take this passage, and listen, now whoever hold out to the end, amen, they'll make it in. If you don't hold out, you know, we sing songs about holding out. Amen. As depraved as we are, we're going to hold out.
I hear you.
Huh? And this is why it's so confusing, because we look around at people and we see the obvious failures of those.
Yes.
And then after a while you get the one that says, I wonder who's going to get to heaven? Who's going to hold out? You know, who's going to be saved?
Oh, have
I'll never forget the night I heard a mother stand up and testify, and she said, "You know, holiness is right, even if nobody is to it." I said, "Uh-huh." Man, what she's saying is that she's not looking around and seeing anybody that's matching up, amen, to all the rhetoric of what they're saying that you've got to do. But thank God, it's not based upon what you do, it's based upon what God has already done.
Amen.
Not about you. Amen. God's not leaving it up to the performance of the depraved flesh, amen, as a determinant of his relationship with you. Amen. David said, if the Lord, amen, counted, if he assessed our basis of relationship with him on the basis of us, he would see iniquity, and he would, amen, we would all falter, we would all fail, we would all be destroyed. So that word, perseverance, is very, very, very deceiving. Amen. So what Jesus did says, he who did, epomenos, aorist participle, he who did endure to the end, he who did endure, the same shall be saved. Here, oh my God, you have an indicative future, a future fact. How do you get a future fact? Amen. How do you speak of us already being glorified, and we are down here in these depraved bodies, bumping our heads and stumbling and mumbling and messing up? Amen. Oh my God! And yet to say that we're heirs of God. John asked of Christ, of that which belongs to Christ. How can we say we are children of God, eternally saved, amen, and yet we are down here subject to being, to messing up every day? Oh my God, persevering, amen. And some say, as we take one step forward, we take three steps back, amen. Oh my God, it's because God has fixed this thing.
That's right.
It's a done deal. And you are not persevering and trying to make it to heaven and trying to make it in and trying, amen, on your own to accomplish it. God has already brought it to pass. Hasn't he brought it to pass? Huh? Give the Lord a praise. Hasn't he brought, he's brought this thing. Hey, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. So he was speaking concerning the prophetic great tribulation, and this should never be construed to emulate the confirmation or safeguarding of your salvation. Now, the eschatological context of this verse is cast on a particular setting, and yet the fact remains that it is not advocating that one's ability to hold out, as they say, in the conditions and times of tribulation is a determinant factor of one's salvation. Actually, I'm going to say this again. The Greek participle, epomenos, rendered endured, is in the aorist tense, denoting the predetermination of those by God's decree that are assigned to endure, hold out, stand firm, and remain under tribulation in those futuristic yet horrific times. Indeed, erroneously gleaning any other comprehension from this passage constitutes extreme violation, and I'll stand, even though I don't call myself a Greek scholar, I'll stand in the face of the Greek scholars and say this. This constitutes extreme violation of the grammatical and contextual aspect of exegesis. Now, flawed perceptions are similarly gleaned regarding those that belong to Christ's household through misreading Hebrews 3 and 6 latter phrases. But before we go to this, Let's define, amen, this word. And here's where we break with John Calvin. Amen. This is why we say we're not Calvinists. This is supposed to be the fifth, amen, issue on the tulip train. Amen. So that I don't get into cliches and all of this. And I was telling someone yesterday, amen, no, we're not Calvinists. Amen. Calvin, when, and I don't say this disrespectful to him because he's been dead for centuries. Amen. But Calvin, when it came to dispensational understanding and gleaning, Calvin was brain dead. He's back there in the fifth chapter of Matthew saying that Jesus didn't mean what he said. Amen. You know, pluck out the eyes and, amen, cut off your hand and all of that and say, well, Jesus didn't really mean that. Now we got Jesus saying things they didn't really mean. Amen. And so, we're not Calvinists. Amen. Now, if you called us Christians or Christians, amen, we say amen to that. Now, as we look at this other document, the sovereignty of God in election doctrines, and we deal with preservation, not perseverance of the saint. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
In focusing in on the terminology, preservation of the saints, it is crucial to define the very misunderstood word saints. Everybody listen to me closely now. In this regard, the questions are asked, what is a saint? What constitutes the status of sainthood? Is it inherent? And finally, is it acquired or bestowed? The word saint and saints are used approximately 100 times in the Word of God. The Old Testament Hebrew word kadosh denotes one who is holy or set apart in that writings. The New Testament Greek word agios conveys the designation of those who have been set apart to or by God and judged by his eternal sacrifice to be upright. Understand now, they are judged to be upright by his eternal sacrifice before God. Note, it must be understood that all of God's elect, regardless of their placement status, that is, down through the dispensations, whether you are in the body of Christ or whether you are in the Commonwealth of Israel, regardless of their placement status, enjoy the position of sainthood. It is the benefit of all of God's people simply because it is not obtained by merit, nor is it an accomplishment, as some denominations so designate it. Also, sainthood has absolutely nothing to do with the recipient upon whom it has been bestowed. I think I'll repeat that. Sainthood has absolutely, I'm going to break it down, has absolutely nothing to do with you. Except you are the recipient. It is not acquirable. It is not obtainable. Most importantly, no one other than God can contribute anything to, nor take anything from that which God has declared to be righteous. Saints are called, according to Romans 1 and 7. That is, saints are summons as a result of the foreknowledge of God and were predestinated as the elect of God, according to Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. Now, in scrutinizing the word preservation, its root, preserved, preserved, note the meaning of its synonym. That is, to guard, or guarded, keep, or kept. In the Old Testament, several words are used to express the intended meaning of these terms. Have the Greek word karya, which denotes the continuation of life. The Greek word conveys the thought of the preservation of life. The Hebrew word nasa denotes that which is guarded or watched over. The Hebrew word shamah, I think I've heard that before, means to keep guard. The have change over, protect, save, or to preserve, or keep within bounds. The Hebrew word nasa conveys the meaning of to be snatched away, delivered, or rescued from sin and guilt. The Hebrew word yasha means to be saved, delivered, and given total victory. Lastly, the Hebrew word daba means to cling, stick, stay, close, or cleave. Now let's go to the Greek. In the New Testament, the Greek word aphalis is translated to safeguard or preserve. Other Greek definitions are zoso, meaning to save, keep safe, and sound. Greek word sarzizo, which is translated to seal, safe to keep, or keep from perishing, or being lost. The Greek word tereo conveys the idea to attend carefully, to reserve, to keep one in his current state. The Greek word philoso is rendered to guard. And you see that word a lot in the writings. Watch or keep from perishing or being lost. The Greek word katekō is translated to hold firm, cement, or fasten together firmly. Now, one must fully understand that only he who has the power to make a saint also has the power to preserve, guard, keep, and protect one's status or position in sainthood. I think I'll repeat that. Only the one who has the power to make a saint, and I'll just break it down, has the power to keep a saint. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, the Apostle Paul states, and here from the King James, I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We have already quoted that earlier. It must be clearly understood that God not only has the power, but it is also his will to preserve and keep intact that which he both bled and died for.
Amen.
Even, amen, he declared on one occasion that no man can take them out of what?
My hand.
My God, you messed up.
That's it, amen.
Here you're saying you're in the hand of God, and yet you stand in debt in jeopardy. Who's big enough, bold enough, bad enough, including Satan, to come and take some out of God's hand? See, that's not the thinking. God's people.
That's right.
I'm not giving God credit for being omnipotent.
That's right.
Yeah. All powerful.
Yeah.
Now here you in his hand, and now Satan gonna come and take you out of his hand. So well, if Satan can't take you out, but you can jump out. Now you're gonna come along and jump out of the hands of God. Isn't that crazy? That's some of the things that we've been taught and we've just accepted. Just as crazy as it can be.
Oh, have mercy. Amen. Preacher. Amen.
That don't even make any sense. Not no spiritual sense. Absolutely no scripture sense. That you're in God's hand and then all of a sudden you just out. You in, you out. I backslide, then I come back to the Lord, then I get in trouble, I backslide again. Some people, I mean, what is, God is not a ping pong game. Boop, in the church, boop, out of the church. Boop, in the church, boop, out of the church. No. No.
Amen.
No.
Thank God.
Doctrinal wise, we have been sold, amen, a bill of goods that doesn't make scriptural sense.
Right.
What does the Word of God, teach? It must be clearly understood that God not only has the power to, again, but it is also His will to preserve and keep intact that which He both bled and died for. The testimony of His commitment is manifested in the awesome sacrifice which was displayed on Calvary's cross. There is much greater detail, amen, as we now go into preservation of the saints. Amen. We scrutinize this as we move back to another document here and go to the third paragraph there, second paragraph rather, on page 19. We must understand, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. And I'll make this statement for those that may be listening to this. Amen. No, we're not tied to what Calvin said, when he's scripturally, amen, on target, we say amen. Amen. Just him and anyone else. Amen. But what we're relied upon is going into the scriptures and gleaning from exegesis the actual conveyance of what the scripture is telling us. Amen. We're not here trying to do anything. We're not struggling and striving, amen, on the basis that we are trying to impress God, amen, or score enough points, amen, to satisfy God. Because you can't. You can't. You can't. Amen. And so we must understand this. Now, just turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Oh, my God, look at that clock. Amen. One of these times, you all at least give me 2 hours. Oh my God, I just like the looks of your face when I say that. All right, chapter 3, as he writes here in verse 1, we have the vocative case. He calls them holy brethren. Basically, all he's saying is separated brethren. He's not saying that they're pure in conduct, and of course conduct is so very important. Amen. But that's not why you're a saint. But because they are partakers of the heavenly calling. What is your heavenly calling? Huh? According to Ephesians 1 and 3, amen, we what? No, that's 4. What he speaks of spiritual blessings. What about spiritual blessings? Huh? I might not get as far as I need to go. You know, we want to have no, let everybody turn to Ephesians 1 and 3. Amen. Oh my God. Why are you a saint? Amen. Ephesians 1 and 3. Read.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings
in the heavenlies in Christ.
Okay, so here, from the Greek, read that. The Greek, read it.
Bless the God and
Bless
Father.
Bless the God. Here we have... Amen. Oh, my God. We have Greek word here that is given supreme honor and glory. Mm-hmm. Amen. God is blessed. Amen. God, oh my God. That word goes further than that. Amen. We have the remnants of that word that we get the word extolled from. Mm-hmm. With certain Paul is saying, high praise. High praise to the God. Supreme praise.
Yeah.
Amen. Huh? What we call around here, grace praise.
Yeah.
Huh? Woo!
Yeah.
Hallelujah. High praise to God. Mm-hmm. Huh? And Father what?
And Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
The heaven blessed.
Heaven blessed us.
Yeah, yeah.
Heaven, you see the difference there?
Right.
Heaven, that means that's something. You got the Irish tense there. That's something he has already done.
Yeah.
Man.
Huh? You were a saint before you ever got here.
Man.
Okay.
Man.
You were a saint before you ever got here.
Right.
You were a saint before you ever got here. Before you were ever encapsulated in these vile, depraved bodies, you were already a saint.
Man.
We didn't know it, but we were already saints.
Hallelujah.
You were never lost. You were always saved.
Thank you, Jesus.
You just didn't know it. You always belonged to him.
Glory to God. Yes, yes. Amen.
Man.
You always belonged to him.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven blessed us. What?
With every blessing, spiritual, in the
God.
Heavens.
My God. Here it reads, in posse of logio. And yes, amen, in every blessing. And here we have the adjective from pneumatiki, amen, which is translated spiritual. So here it is, in posse, elogia, pneumatiki. That is, in every spiritual blessing.
Amen.
Everything you ever need to qualify, amen, God suited you up with it in eternity.
Yes.
Man.
Woo!
Yes.
Man.
Thank God.
So it's not based upon what you can do down here, what you don't do, amen, amen. Oh my God. If we can just come to understand, and in verse 4 it tells us that he did all of this when?
That he chose in him before the foundation.
Before the foundation, before the creation of the world, before creation, God, amen, accomplished all of this. Spiritual blessing, oh my God, everything that is associated with you as a member of the body of Christ, all the Asians, if you please, justification, sanctification, glorification, oh my God. Before, what is it Christendom don't understand about the word before? Amen. Before means before creation, before you ever placed and manifested on earth as a creature. God saved you before he ever created and made you.
Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Glory to God.
How you going to come down in time and make null and void something God has accomplished?
In eternity.
In eternity.
Glory.
All right, let's go back now. In verse 3, and chapter 3 rather, of Hebrews, we're going to run just a little bit this morning. Not much now. Y'all hang with me. Amen. You're going to need this somewhere out here. And while you're floating around, amen, you're going to need this. Amen. And so, in verse 1, he says that they were partakers of the heavenly calling. Now that we understand what that is about, amen. Oh my God, he said, that is considering the apostle and high priest of our profession. Who is who?
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yes.
And he's just using that terminology.
Right.
Amen. Which, in our writings, we deal with that. something so smart and you jump on certain words and say, we don't have a high priest that's in the da-da-da-da-da-da. And Paul was speaking in the language that these believing Jews had understanding of.
Right, right.
But the Ephesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful on his house. See, so he's giving them an analogy of something that they can understand. Amen. But he said, this man, talking about who? Christ Jesus, was more worthy than Moses.
Right.
Had more glory than Moses. Amen. Because he who built the house has more honor than the house. Amen. The essence of the creator of who Jesus is. Amen. Necessarily necessitates you honoring him, the creator, more than the creature.
Right.
Oh my God.
Right.
And so, he said, every man build a house, every house is built by some man, but this house, this the essence of what we have here, amen, is God.
Mm-hmm.
Moses was faithful, amen, the testimony of those things which were to be spoken after, but Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are. This is, my goodness, you can't keep... Woo! Hallelujah. He's talking about the body of Christ.
Yeah, amen.
Whose house we are. He's talking about the body of Christ.
Yes.
That doesn't mean too much. Too many that are sitting in the pews today. Because we're so transfixed and filled up with the physicalities of the things that are around us until nothing spiritually given or conveyed impresses us.
Right. Right.
When we think of a blessing, we think of a physical blessing.
Right.
Including healing. Healing is a physical blessing. And of course, we all pray for healing, and we're praying for healing right now. Amen. But my God, on a prioritized basis, the spiritual aspect of those blessings, my God, that are forever sealed in heaven, are the things that we should look to and glorify and magnify the God of our salvation.
Yes.
Even if I don't get that promotion.
Hallelujah.
Huh?
Come on with it. Come on.
Even if I lose my job.
Come on with it.
Huh?
Hallelujah.
If my body is even racking with pain.
Yes.
My God, even, amen, if I'm called out of this body, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yes.
Because that don't mean too much to most. Because all we know and we can relate to is right now and what's going on right now. But I said to you this morning, oh my God, look above the essence of what you're doing and what's around you.
Yes.
And why these things are so important, there's something that is ultra important.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Your best times are ahead of you.
Thank God.
What's before you is more glorious. Eternal happiness.
Yes.
Yeah. Eternal bliss.
Yeah.
Oh, God, help your people
to
internalize these things and appreciate these things.
Yes.
Even while you're right here on the earth struggling, and everybody here is struggling, everybody sitting here this morning, you've got some problem. Nobody's in here problem-free. Amen, because you can be worry-free if you get this.
Yes.
Give me 10 minutes. I'm a bail out here. In verse, verse 6. Read that, Brother Deacon.
Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. King James Version.
I think I'll end with this today. We'll come back, and one good thing, I always get to come back.
Amen.
Isn't that great?
Amen.
Oh, my God. Somebody said, I don't know about that. But isn't that great? We get to continue in the things of God and continues to communicate the conveyance of his glorious blessings upon us. All right, read that.
Hebrews 3:6, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end.
You see that? You see that? That's again. You got to stop in exegete.
Oh, yes.
First, you go to the Greek.
Greek and millennial text.
Now, if you don't have the text, Greek text, listen here closely. Uh-huh.
Christ, on the other, as a son over the house of him.
Over his house.
Of whom a household we are we.
Whom a household we what?
If the confidence and the boast of the hope until end firm we hold fast.
Now, oh my God. Huh? Yeah, you saw it, Dad.
Uh-huh.
Let me bring in just this one ingression and we'll bail out. And I know, because it's going to take about 15 to 20 minutes to explain this. And so we'll start up here next week. Amen. But I do like they used to do when I was a child. They would go and they'd have what they call chapter pictures.
Right.
You know what that was?
Right.
Some of us older, they'd have the hero about to be killed or something like that. Then they cut it off.
Right.
And that way they knew that you'd get your back, they'd get you back there next week.
Right. Uh-huh.
So here, look, the last phrase here. If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, as well as all, my God, here, as we look at this, oh my Lord, here, and I got to do a little bit of exegesis. Nobody go crazy. I'm going into a little bit of Greek here. Oh my God. Here we have what we call, amen, and of course the different, Greek manuscripts disagree on it, and some put it in parentheses. In some, the text is receptus, and some, they have the conjunctive particle not contracted there. You know what a contraction is. You know, we use hyphens in there. Amen. You got two words and you hyphenate the two. Amen. With the hyphen there. So they got the Greek conjunction aonphē. And others, they've got aon and then in parentheses, they got fag. Here in the text of receptors, they've got that word and it's translated if only. Now, if only there would be a condition.
Right, right.
But if it is not contracted, that is the particle, and it's aon, and then you put in parentheses fag, if it's there, you have aon by itself is what we call a subordinating conjunction. Now, anything that subordinates, that means that, amen, it is tied to what is basically said either on one side of the conjunction or the other.
Right.
Amen. Oh, my God. But notice here, before you get that, it says whose house we are.
Right.
Whose house we are. Whose house we are. The word, the essence of whose house we are, amen, it has greater weight over the conjunction. The conjunction is pointing back to whose house we are. Whose house we are is the determinant of us holding fast. And yet we're not holding fast. We are holding fast and we're solidified because of whose house we are.
Right. Glory to God. Glory be to God.
So here the apostle is not saying that whose house we are and we got to hold fast to whose house we are. No. That is a subordinate conjunction.
Right.
Eon. Amen. If only are, amen, exclusively based upon the idea of whose house we are, and because of whose house we are, we will hold fast.
Glory be to God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what he's saying.
Yes, sir.
Whose house we are. And because of who we are. And we'll come back to that next week. Amen. But the preservation of God's people is in respect to our eternal hope, which was actualized in every aspect of God's decree. And that is what we must focus on. Not who we are and what we can do. Huh? But what? What he is and what he has made us. I was listening to a song there, and I don't know whether they really know what they were saying. So well, they said, he's all over me and keeping me. We're kept.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because we're in him. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's all over me because I'm in him.
Yes.
And because I'm in him, I can never be taken out of him.
Amen.
And the essence of our status is that this glorious God loved me when I was unlovable.
Yes.
Loved me.
Yes.
Not for my sake, but for his sake.
Yes.
Loved me. Not for my pleasure, but for his pleasure.
Yes.
Loved me. Not because of my will, but because of his will.
Yes.
Loved me.
Yes.
He loved me. He loved me. And because he loved me, his love should never fail, should never end. I should never perish. I can never perish. Amen. I'm not seeking to be, but I am because he loved me. We shall take it up next week as we go forward because we are preserved. We are not persevering. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him a hand, praise. Hallelujah. Amen.